Do you want to know a secret? Well, I have one for you today, a secret that'll change your life. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, I hope I captured your attention. Today, I really do have a secret that is life-changing. I'll clue you in just ahead. And then our phone lines are open for your questions on any financial topic. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So what's the big secret? Well, I'll get into that in just a moment. But first, let me remind you that every so often on our Monday program, as we begin our broadcast week, we circle back to first principles, to the foundational teachings of Christian stewardship that should guide our everyday lives. Usually, we focus on one of the five things you can do with money. You can earn it, live on it, give it away, owe it to someone or to a business or the government. And finally, you can grow it by saving or investing. So that's earn, live, give, owe, and grow. Very easy to remember. But there is one more thing that relates to all of the others, and that is learning about money and wise stewardship. You can remember that one because learn rhymes with earn. As Christians, we are called to be disciples. That's just another term for learner. Our task as disciples is to learn about God and how to honor Him through the way we live. Now, of course, a big part of that is learning to manage the resources He entrusts to us, including money. We can learn many practical things about money management, such as about budgeting and saving and investing and so on. But we also need to learn to have a proper attitude toward money and material things. And that's where this big secret comes in. The Apostle Paul tells us about it in Philippians chapter 4. He writes this, "I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with plenty or little, for I can do everything through the one who gives me strength." Did you catch that? The secret he has learned is the secret of living in every situation. Even when he doesn't have everything he might want to have, he has learned the secret of being content. Now, the reason this is a secret is not that anyone is trying to hide it. It's simply that relatively few people have applied this to their lives. We live in a discontented world in which many people never seem satisfied with what they have. Well, that's our fallen nature, I suppose, and advertisers appeal to that nature by getting us to want more. There's a car commercial running now that features a song called "Gotta Have It." The message is, you gotta have this new car. And when a new model phone comes out, we're encouraged to get rid of our old phones, which probably aren't that old, and get the latest and greatest. I'm not saying new things are bad, but I am suggesting that those of us seeking to be faithful stewards should take a step back and wrestle with this question of contentment. Note that Paul said he had learned how to be content. Contentment doesn't come naturally. It's something we must seek from the Lord. But I also think we need to start saying no to the cultural's continual push that tries to amplify discontent. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you should never buy anything or that you can't spend money on a new gadget or a pleasurable vacation. What I am saying is that we need to examine our motives. Does discontentment drive our purchasing decisions? Are we envious of others because they may have more than we do? Do we think, I would be content if only I had this or that? You know, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving soon, and so there's probably no better time to be talking about the issue of contentment. Giving thanks is one of the ways we can practice contentment. When we say, thank you, Lord, for providing for my family and me, thank you for giving me a job, thank you that we have a roof over our heads and food on our table, we begin to realize how blessed we are. And I think that'll go a long way to helping us learn, as the Apostle Paul learned, to be content with whatever he had. As I said, becoming a good steward involves learning many practical things about effective money management. But don't neglect the attitudinal thing, learning to be content. It really is a secret that'll change your life.
I'm Rob West.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's program. By the way, if you have a money-related question, well, we're here to help. Call now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. In Jesus' parable in Luke 14, 23, he said, "Go out and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." And who gets to tell them to compel them to come in? As a Christian, that would be you. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "You are Christ's ambassador." He is making his appeal, his invitation through you. Here's the question. Are you a spectator or a participant in God's purpose for everyone you meet? Part of the problem or part of the solution? When you love on people in the name of Jesus, lives are changed and people want to know God like you know God. But sharing your faith rarely happens unless you're intentional about it, unless you're Christ's ambassador on purpose, his purpose, that none should perish. Compelling? I'd say so. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, taking your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind financially speaking? The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you again, 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Coming up on the broadcast today, in addition to your questions, we'll tackle a couple of emails. One about leaving an inheritance to children living outside of the Lord's will. Boy, there is nothing more difficult than that. I'll weigh in on that today. Also, what about title lock insurance? Is that something you should have? We'll talk about that as well. Also, we'll be taking your questions today, and I'll give you some thoughts on having peace in the midst of financial turmoil. I know many of us, as we walk through the Christian life, will experience peaks and valleys, and some of those valleys will often be financially related, especially in the times in which we find ourselves. Well, if you're in one of those difficult seasons financially, perhaps this will be an encouragement for you today that'll come up a little later in the broadcast. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your questions. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Kentucky. Elijah, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob.
Hi, good morning. Great to have you. How can I help?
Yes, sir. What are the difference of interest rate compounding monthly and interest rate compounding yearly?
Yes. Well, it's a great question. Do you have something specific in mind? Give me the context for the investment.
Yes, sir. CD.
Okay. Oh. And go ahead.
One of the bank want to compound the CD monthly, other bank want to compound the interest rate yearly.
Yes. Okay. Very good. You know, when we look at that, basically, you're going to want to have the most frequent amount of credit for the interest you can. So if something compounds weekly or monthly, you're going to see the interest being credited at that pace, and then the compounding effect will occur sooner, which means it's going to grow faster, as opposed to something that gets credited annually, and then you're getting that compounding each year. But you're not getting that money working for you as quickly. And so the quicker you can have that money compound, the better off you are. With monthly compounding, basically the annual interest rate is divided by 12, so the number of months in a year, and then the monthly interest is applied to the principal amount at the end of the month, therefore increasing your account balance and then growing from that point, as opposed to an annual compounding where that annual yield is only credited one time a year. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
Yeah. So you'll want to look for weekly or monthly compounding. You can even see, in some cases, daily compounding. But typically, the monthly would be what you see the most often.
Thank you so much, and may God bless you, sir.
All right, Elijah, thank you for calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To North Carolina we go. Hi, Susan. How can I help you?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The question is actually very simple. My husband and I are both, I'm 66, he's 70. Every bit of money that we have is tied up in equity in our home. We don't have but about, you know, like $10,000 in savings. My question is, with the way the market, and we have a monthly income that covers our expenses, should we sell our house to get that equity and have the equity? You see what I'm saying? Because
I do.
If the market should crash, we lose everything.
Yes. So what do you have in savings right now?
About $10,000.
Okay.
That's
really all the assets that you have apart from your home?
Yeah. Well, we have two old cars. We don't drive
sure.
a new car or anything.
Yes. And then what are your income sources?
We have both. It's funny how that ended up. But all of it is from the government. My husband was civil service.
Okay.
And mine is Social Security.
Okay. And do you have any margin left over, Susan, at the end of the month after the bills are paid typically?
A couple of hundred. That's it, Matt.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's been real tight lately.
Sure. And are you accounting for non-recurring expenses and discretionary spending? So are you putting
no.
money into a savings for, you know, a semi-annual payment or a vacation or anything like that?
Well, we haven't yet. And that's what
okay.
I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like you're kind of living right up to the edge, and we're probably not
right
even accounting not even accounting for things that happen throughout the course of the year that you may not get a bill for.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Now tell me about the house. What do you think the market value is today, and what do you owe on it, if anything?
Well, we owe exactly $113,000. The house
okay.
itself is valued currently at $172,000.
Okay. All right. And if you were to sell it, Susan, where would you go? Have you looked at options?
Well, yeah, that's what my husband, he said, no, absolutely not. I would just like to rent a smaller place, you know, nothing big, just,
yeah.
you know, just get how we do now with our money. We could actually save money if we rented a smaller place and all. But that's all I was thinking would be
sure.
we would use our monthly income from that, but we would have the cushion of the equity in our hand.
Yeah. The challenge is you're going to have to really do your homework before you were to consider this because, you know, you may find that even something smaller to rent is actually going to be more expensive than that monthly mortgage payment that you're paying today. Now, I'd realize that you'd have the equity that you pulled out. The challenge is we've got to get on a path, Susan, that's sustainable. And so that equity would be temporary if it gets eaten up with spending beyond your means. So if you're right up to the edge right now, and it sounds like we're not even accounting for those non-recurring discretionary expenses that happen throughout the year, let alone putting, you know, money aside for replacement of those old cars and that type of thing, then that means we're going to feel like the pressure's off because, you know, after expenses, let's say, you know, you have $172,000 that this is worth today. Let's say, you know, you end up spending 6%, you know, on a realtor. Now that's down to $161,000. Then you got your moving expenses. Let's say you net, when it's all said and done, $150,000. And then you've still got to pay off that mortgage of $113,000. So now we've only got $37,000 in the bank. And you're going to be surprised at how quickly that goes. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there with no equity to buy anything else. You're stuck with a high rent payment and your expenses are more than they were in the house because your rent went up instead of down. Now, you may be able to find something less expensive, but I wouldn't make that just an assumption without you going out and finding that place that you all would be comfortable living in, because with what's happened in the housing market, rent prices are sky high right now. So I think the first thing that I would do is connect with one of our MoneyWise coaches and try to get on a budget, a spending plan that balances and lets truly account for everything that you have or need in your monthly budget. And let's see where we can cut back, how we can free up more margin. And then secondly, do the legwork, you and your husband, to say, if we were to, let's say this house sold today, where would we go? And are we happy with that? And what is it actually going to cost us in rent? And what does that mean for our budget? Because not only is it going to be time consuming for you to sell this house, it's expensive in terms of the realtor and the moving and all the other things that I mentioned. And I just want to make sure that we don't have a temporary fix that ends up being more challenging in the long run. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically you're telling me to do a lot of paperwork budgeting.
That rental and figure out what that's actually going to cost you before we make this decision. Hang on the line. We'll finish up off the air and we'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Today I want to weigh in on a couple of things. Number one is related to peace in the midst of a financial turmoil. You know, some of you may find yourselves in a bit of a difficult spot right now. That may mean because you've had your income cut back. Maybe it's just your concern over your 401k balance or your investments. Well, maybe you just pulled away from the gas pump after spending a day's wages filling your tank. You know, I won't even get started on how much things are costing at the grocery store right now. You know what I want to do? Let's back up for a moment and focus on finding some peace in the midst of all of the financial uncertainty that we have around us. You know, when financial circumstances are knocking you down, what you need is something to hang on to, something that's permanent, reliable, and true. And of course, we go to God's word for that. Let me take you to James chapter 1, verse 17 today, where it reads, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." You know, understanding this truth can help us to navigate the stormy times of life. And as we unpack that a bit, we see that first, God is the source of every blessing. What are those? Well, think about it. Freedom to worship and follow Him, the privilege of living in a free country, the shelter, transportation, and food on the table we enjoy, the clothes we have to wear, the financial provision that comes from God Himself, of course, family and friends, and even every breath we take is a blessing from God. So that's the first part of that passage. God is the source of every blessing. But then we read on, and it says, God does not change. You see, economic forecasts and our bank balances and even our emotions can change like shifting shadows, but God isn't like that. God is good all the time. His character is fixed. In Christ, we see God's love for us in action. We know the passage well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can face every day with peace and confidence in God's unchanging love and His provision and His peace. And this, of course, is confirmed about the character of God in Hebrews 13:8, where it reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." You know, the scripture we read earlier from James 1:17 follows with a description of all the trials we might face as we run the race of life. And whether you're just starting out or you're finishing the race, you can trust God's goodness now and in the future. Your circumstances don't change God's character. So if the current economic climate scares you, try thinking about it with an eternal perspective. All the financial resources, well, they're God's anyway. So do your best with what you have, preparing the best you can, and trust the Lord to handle the rest. Even when you feel powerless to change your circumstances, rest assured that God provides His Holy Spirit to protect and support you each day as you walk with Christ. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That, of course, from Philippians 4:7. I hope that's an encouragement to you today as you think about the uncertainty around you and being able to have confidence in God's ultimate control over everything. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. What are your questions, financially speaking? Are you thinking about your spending plan this morning, trying to balance that budget? Maybe you've got some debt that's lingering, and with these rising interest rates, the variable rates on credit cards and other debts are just really getting away from you. You're wondering, how do you tackle that? What about giving in these difficult times? Where does that fit in? Was it the first thing to go? Are you thinking about your giving plan? Let's talk about it. Of course, your investments as well. We can tackle that too. Give us a call with lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Before we go back to the phones, a couple of emails that came in recently, and these are from some folks really just wanting to be good stewards and be found faithful of God's resources. We'll get to one on inheritance in a moment, but first from Sue, she writes, what is title lock insurance? Do you recommend it? Sue, it's a great question. Let me weigh in on this today. You know, this isn't what's typically known as title insurance, which you should always get when you purchase a property. This is what's called title fraud insurance, and it really isn't insurance at all. It doesn't lock your title, as the name sometimes implies. These products will usually just monitor whether your deed has been transferred out of your name at the county records office. Now, that might be helpful if you're able to react in time and challenge the deed transfer as the before the records office. But the scammer takes out a new loan in this, and there's really no way to actually lock your title in any state, at least not yet. There's nothing to stop a scammer from forging your signature and transferring a deed out of your name. You can monitor whether a fraudulent transfer has occurred, typically all by yourself. Most counties now allow you to view the status of your deed online, and some counties even allow you to sign up for automated alerts involving deed changes. Here's the bottom line, though. If someone were to transfer your title fraudulently and take out a loan against your property, at the end of the day, it's still fraud, and you can't be foreclosed on. It wouldn't hold up in court. So bottom line is, this is just one of those products that is sold and not purchased. And the reason is, it is really of no value to you. This is something you can do yourself. You certainly don't need to pay for it. And if it were to happen, again, it would be a fraudulent transfer, and they would have no legal basis to your property. So I would pass. Sue, thank you for writing to us today. Questions at moneywise.org is the email. Questions at moneywise.org is the place to go to email if you want a question read on the air. And we'd love to hear from you as you write to us. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about inheritance. What do you do when you have a child living outside of God's will? And how should you think about approaching that in terms of your estate planning? We'll also be taking your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you with any financial question. We'll apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you again. 800-525-7000. A quick break and back with much more after this. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
AFA Excellent.
Repairing the foundations.
American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices as we gather together each morning. We'd love to hear from you today, 800-525-7000. What financial questions do you have today about your spending plan, your debt, your long-term savings or investments, whatever it might be? We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, we hear from a lot of folks that ask the question, if we go to God's Word, what are the big ideas that we see there? How do we actually apply ancient wisdom to today's financial decisions and choices? And it's a good question because we have to start with the big narrative, if you will, in Scripture, the big idea, starting with the fact that God owns it all. The Creator God is the owner of everything, the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, we're told in Psalm 24:1. And that includes the ability for us even to create wealth. Well, what do we do then if we recognize that to be true? Well, we have to accept then our proper role as a steward or a manager of God's resources, which then changes the role of money as well. It makes it a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Yes, we're to enjoy it, and yes, we should provide for our families, but we should also enter God's generosity story, His activity here on earth. We should hold it loosely and not seek to gain more of it just for the sake of enriching ourselves, because that's going to put too much of a focus on this world, the temporal, as opposed to the eternal. But when money becomes a tool and we hold it loosely and we don't get caught up in the comparison trap, well, it changes our perspective. And by the way, giving is what does that most effectively in my experience. You know, our generosity is meant to serve those who are in need. We clearly see that in Scripture. But for those of us who are warm and well-fed and have a roof over our head, giving changes our perspective. It refocuses us away from our own mini kingdoms here on earth and focuses our attention on the eternal kingdom, God's kingdom, as we participate in God's activity. Those are the big ideas in Scripture. And then when we begin to drill down below that, we see the principles that should govern our day-to-day interactions with money. Recognizing we need to spend less than we earn, living within God's provision, even though the world allows us to live outside of it, that we should set financial goals because the longer term the perspective, the better the decision today. We should avoid debt because there's clear warnings in Scripture about the use of debt, and it changes the relationship lender to borrower. We should have margin in our financial lives. That is, we should have something left over at the end of the month so that we can use that in a way that aligns with our values to accomplish our ultimate longer-term goals and objectives. Margin is critical to that. And then finally, as I said, we should give generously. And when we do those five things, live within our means, avoid debt, have some margin, set long-term goals, and give generously, well, we put ourselves in a position at that point to experience God's best. And those ideas, yeah, they come right out of Scripture. When we go to God's Word, we'll see them very, very clearly. Well, as we apply those principles, we can see that they really can intersect with every financial decision we will ultimately take. So whatever's on your mind today, let's tackle that at 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. North Carolina, Randy, thank you for your call, sir. How can I help you?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had a quick question. Well, a couple questions. So someone had mentioned I-bonds to me as far as investing. I'm 30 years old. I got a small paint company, got three kids, wife. I haven't bought a house yet. I'm currently renting. Well, I'm just trying to think about the future. So I was thinking about getting an I-bond. And then also I have some cryptocurrency that I've had for a couple of years. And I obviously see that's kind of volatile. So I'm kind of curious if I should just go ahead and get rid of that or get any more or just keep what I have.
Yeah, great questions there, Randy. Appreciate that very much. So that was great background. Give me a sense of your budget, your income and your expenses. Are you all living paycheck to paycheck? Do you have a little margin at the end of the month?
Yeah, I usually got a little margin at the end of the month. I've got some money saved up.
Okay. So on a typical month, what would you say you have left over?
Probably somewhere between, it just depends month to month, but usually somewhere between $4,000 and then, you know, in a good month, a lot of work coming in, you know, maybe 8,000.
And that's what's excess at the end of the month. If you have a good month, you have somewhere between 4,000 and 8,000 extra per month.
Yeah, like I said, depends on the month. Lower end, $3,500.
Okay.
But I've had some good months.
Okay. And what do you have in savings right now?
Low 30s.
Okay.
32.
Okay, about 32,000 in savings. And what other assets do you have? Do you have investment accounts besides the crypto that you had put aside? What else do you have?
So just the crypto and, I think that's about it.
Okay. And are you contributing to a retirement plan of any kind?
No, sir, not at the moment. These things have been kind of weighing on my mind, like what I need to, you know, the ball rolling.
Yeah. And how much do you value the crypto at? And I realize it's probably declined quite a bit, but what do you think it's worth today?
Less than 10,000.
Okay. All right. And so you would expect to see that 30,000 in savings can start to increase pretty rapidly. I mean, you think you're going to be adding, you know, at least $3,000 a month to that?
Yeah. So hopefully, it stays pretty steady. Like I said, I do my own work. I work for myself, paint company. So yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. So a couple of thoughts here. Number one is let's not do, in my opinion, any more crypto investing. If you would have called me before you put the first dollar in, I would have said, no, don't touch it. And here's why. Crypto is not going away. The technology, the blockchain technology behind the cryptocurrencies is here to stay. It'll be used for a wide range of applications, including a decentralized form of currency. But it's very early. You can kind of think about it in the early .com era. That's kind of where we are in the maturation phase of cryptocurrency. And because of that, with the regulatory environment being uncertain, recently the sell-off has been because, you know, there is no central bank to come in and backstop it. We saw that with the recent collapse of one of the crypto exchanges. When the Democrats did better than were expected in this midterm, that cooked put some weight on the cryptos as well, because their tendency is to add more regulation to this environment. There's just way too much speculation and uncertainty, which is going to make it a very speculative, very volatile investment. I wouldn't touch it. Again, it's not going away, but that doesn't mean it's ripe for your investment dollars, especially when you don't have other investments that would be more akin to what God's word would affirm, and that is the idea of steady plotting. So if it were me, I would just unwind those positions, get out of them, and use that to start your more prudent, steady plotting investment strategy. So where would I go from here? Well, number one is I would really dial into your monthly spending plan, kind of rein back your expenses as best you can. Number two, I'd open a SEP IRA, S-E-P IRA, for a self-employed person. That's going to be the best way for you to put away a lot of money, which you have, and that's great on a typical basis, but I'd invest in a stock and bond portfolio that's properly diversified and move away from the speculative investments. And let's start really putting as much as you can in there each month. Stay on the line. We'll talk on the other side of this break and I'll get your thoughts. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Did you ever use chairs and blankets to build a fort? I don't know if kids do this anymore, but before smartphones, video games, social media, it was a big deal, especially if your friends were over. Pretty soon, the chairs were disappearing from the kitchen table, and no one could find their bed sheets, and then the real work began. Humans are builders. It's part of who God created us to be. But the greatest builder is our Savior Jesus. Hebrews telling us that Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. He built the house of God, and he invites you to enter it by believing in him. Get Anchor devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Just before the break, we were talking to Randy, who has a painting business. He's self-employed, makes good money on most months with plenty of margin, but not much built up in the way of assets. Good news, Randy, is you've got time on your side. You've got a young family. You're in your 30s. You don't to sound like have a lot of debt. So the key is right now just building that solid financial foundation, not in speculative investments, but really in, I believe, a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio with a large concentration towards stocks. This is a great time to begin to dollar cost average in. And I would use, as I said before the break, a SEP IRA as kind of the basis for that. Very low maintenance, very easy to set up. And with the cash flow you're throwing off, you should be able to build that up quickly. And that's going to give you a more stable, predictable, long-term investment strategy that, you know, if you just continue to invest systematically, should give you quite a bit of money in retirement that you can lean on without the speculative, volatile nature of the cryptos you have invested in. But give me your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, it makes sense, kind of what I was thinking, but I guess just hoping in the crypto ordeal, but kind of see that it's too unstable. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the advice. When you say investing in the Roth?
Well, I would use a SEP IRA. You could use a Roth, too, in addition to it. But a SEP is going to give you the ability to put away more money. As a self-employed individual, one of the challenges is when you don't have a company-sponsored retirement plan, you're going to cap out that Roth at $6,000. And even if you open one as a spousal IRA, you'd only be able to put away $12,000 per year. And in order to save 10 to 15% of your income for retirement, you're going to not have enough contribution potential there. So that's where a SEP is going to give you a lot more. For 2022, you can put away 25% of your compensation or $61,000, which gives you the ability to put a lot more away. You'll get a tax deduction on it as well, so you can reduce your adjusted gross income and then get that money invested. I'd probably open an account at either Fidelity or Schwab and look to buy just some high-quality growth mutual funds. If you wanted more of a robo-advisor approach, you could use the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where they use exchange-traded funds to build a portfolio for you of indexes mirroring the broad market indexes, largely stocks, but with a smaller allocation to bonds. And then you just capture the long-term trends of the market growth. The other approach is to be a little more proactive in terms of selecting mutual funds, perhaps more actively managed funds, which you could do either in a faith-based investing approach, like with Eventide or Praxis or Timothy Funds, or you could use our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, and they could offer some mutual fund suggestions as well. But I think the key is getting it as much as you can with all this surplus cash flow you have into a tax-deferred environment to reduce your taxable income, but get this money growing for the future. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay.
Tired of getting pennies in the bank.
I hear
interest.
You. Yeah, very good. Well, if we can help further along the way, let us know, Randy. But listen, all the best to you in the days ahead. And thanks for calling today. Before we take an additional call today, it's Monday, which means our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob joins us in the last segment of the broadcast each Monday. Bob, good morning to you, sir.
And to you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Hey, tell me what you're watching this week. Market largely flat as we start the week. So what are you looking for?
Yeah, it's we're still on the back of obviously the election and then the better than expected inflation report from last week, which just took the market straight up, as you know, Rob, and the market's trying to digest that now. So we're watching to see what reactions people will continue to have in light of those two big events. We still have a few more earnings reports left, but it's now the economy and inflation. How much will it slow? How long will it take to get there? And what's the Fed going to do? How long will they keep raising rates? That's what's on our radar screen.
Yeah. Now, history is on our side, Bob. I know you were telling me when we were together last week in Tampa that really the data is encouraging with regard to the year following a midterm election, right?
Yes, literally from election day, midterm election day, that is, so every 4 years, out the next 12 months to early November the following year, since 1950, the stock market has never been down. There aren't too many signals that have worked 100% of the time. And as I said, I think in Tampa, I'll say it again, let's pray that works again.
Yes, absolutely. Bob, between now and the end of the year, what is the Fed going to be looking at beyond the inflation data that we got last week as they make their next policy moves?
Well, inflation will be number one, but not too far down the line will be what happens with employment. Do the layoffs start picking up some? Does the unemployment rate move up? That's the other part of their mandate. And, of course, to support the inflation, they're going to be watching all the economic indicators to see what kind of strength or weakness we have. They want some weakness so that inflation come down, but not an inordinate amount where we lose a lot of jobs.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, as you look at the U.S. and then you look at the rest of the world, comment based on where you see us today in terms of the data you're watching with respect to the likelihood we'll see a recession in this country next year and then the other economic forces in the world.
So while the probability of recession in the U.S. is higher than usual, it is higher in most places outside the U.S. Yeah. There's some evidence that the U.K., for example, is already in a recession. Other parts of Europe, not far from it. So the U.S., among developed countries, I guess I can say, has the lowest probability of a recession, but a lot higher than usual. We could have a global recession. I don't think it's severe, as we've talked about in the past, Rob, but it's been a long time since we had one, aside from the short pandemic one.
Yeah. Last question, Bob. Obviously, crypto in the news last week with the collapse of that crypto exchange. What are your thoughts for those still considering investing here and the dangers perhaps associated with it?
The first thing I say, it's amazing it didn't have negative carryover impacts on other parts of the financial markets. But to your specific question, I think that, I'll call it disaster, that bump in the road, shows just this is a very speculative area. You've got to know what you're talking about, not just a rumor from somebody or it's going up, therefore I'm going to buy it so it goes up some more, that sort of thing. It's still a speculative area.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Bob. Hey, we always appreciate your comments, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today. We'll see you next week.
All the best. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. While you're there, sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations. I count on it weekly, and you will come to appreciate it, I'm sure, very, very soon. All right, 800-525-7000 as we have our final moments of the broadcast today. Perhaps room for one more question. What's on your mind today? Again, 800-525-7000. Well, you always appreciate the emails that come in from you, our listeners. Let's weigh in on one more today. Ruth writes to us, and this is a tough one. She says, what should we do about children that are living outside of the Lord's will as far as leaving them an inheritance? And I would say first, Ruth, make this a matter of prayer. I realize these are tough decisions. They should not be done without a lot of thought and prayer and consideration and conversation with you and your husband. It's a big decision. It's the last stewardship decision you'll make, and you want to think about the impact of this. Before I weigh in with my thoughts, let me just say the best book on this topic, dealing with the kind of the questions you need to ask and the principles you can apply from God's Word as you think about wealth transfer, is a book by my friend Ron Blue called Splitting Heirs. And you can pick up a copy wherever good books are sold. Here's some questions to ask, Ruth. The first question is, what do you hope for in this process? What is it you're really hoping you'll be able to accomplish? Second, what do you expect to happen? You know, if you were to make this gift as you were planning, perhaps before you realized that, you know, there were some lifestyle decisions being made that were poor, what was it that you expected to happen? And then thirdly, what are the potential risks? You know, there's the non-financial side of this that I think, and that includes the spiritual, that's far more significant than the financial. You know, if you were to drop X dollars, whatever that is, in the lap of this particular child who you said is living outside of the Lord's will, what are the potential implications of that? Could it further that those decisions, those poor choices that are being made, could it actually draw them away from the Lord, which is the ultimate objective, is that they'd be surrendered to Christ? And if so, is that worth it? And answer is absolutely no. And so I think we have to recognize that we need to make some hard decisions when it comes to inheritance in many situations. We need to be thoughtful about it. We need to think about the risks that it can occur, and we need to be careful not to further that negative behavior through our inheritance. That can be difficult, but here's one of the principles you'll find in Splitting Heirs from Ron Blue. He says, if you love your kids equally, you will treat them uniquely. And I realize that flies in the face of what we believe so often as Americans. Well, we've got to treat our kids all the same. But in this case, you may need to make a different and difficult decision because of the implications. And again, most importantly, the non-financial implications of this. So you think about it, pray about it, ask those questions, and then make the decision. And keep in mind, Ruth, just because you make a decision today doesn't mean it can't change down the road as this child's decisions change. And let's continue to pray and ask the Lord to grab hold of their hearts, because that's what ultimately matters. Carolyn, we're so glad you called today. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. I'm going to ask my team to grab your phone number, and let's see if we can get you on the program first tomorrow. Thanks again for calling today, and God bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me say thank you to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for stopping by as well and joining us here on MoneyWise. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. I hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.